Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for an artist of many stripes, Melissa Labuti. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, Eric. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so stoked that you're finally here. I know we've been working on getting you in here for a minute.
And this is awesome.
I'm glad today's the day. So yeah. I know you've recently rebranded a little bit as Shred the Box, and I know that you've got an art show coming up, but I kind of want to build my way up to that.
Okay. Ask away.
Where's the start of the line when it hits you that creativity is the fuel for you? I'm just going to be a creative mind. I'm not going to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Well, I've always had that since I was an adult, since I had children, I would say.
That's when the creative...
Yeah, I started out as a makeup artist. And from there, I took a painting class. I wanted to take ceramics. I had a young child. My son was two. And my dad said, take painting, because he was just starting to dabble in painting and showing some work. And
that's cool.
He had moved. He was moving to Paris for work at the time. So he was really into art and painting. And so I took painting rather than ceramics. I'd still like to take ceramics someday.
Well, painting was maybe a little bit closer to the makeup artist skill set you already had.
I was so intimidated. I still am.
Yeah?
I still am. Yeah, I'm not like, I can't paint a face just like, you know how some people are just photo realism,
sure.
Just like that. Yeah, it takes a lot of concentration and it's really difficult.
Yeah, that's somewhat ironic because you could figuratively paint a face with makeup in real life, paint a literal face.
But it's more contour.
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
I learned
sure.
a lot about depth and highlights.
So how did the makeup artist thing start?
That's a good question. I got a job. I loved makeup. I loved fashion magazines and Vogue and Elle and things like that. And I was working as a fragrance model in California, but makeup is where I wanted to go. I don't know. I just loved it. Fashion and the styling and the photography, doing really unique kind of photo shoots and unique makeup.
Did you have training for that, or was it just something that
Not
you just picked
really.
Up and did?
I got a little training from my best friend, who was also a makeup artist. She went to Joe Blasco. I mean, this was a long time ago.
Well, some of it also,
it
the journey
a long time
applies.
Ago, and we met in a cosmetic store. We both worked at this small little natural cosmetic store, and I just started getting into it. We did some portfolio stuff together and got real creative, and I did some other portfolio stuff for other photographers where I could just really branch out. Like, I have pastels on one girl, a lot of color, and one's like a statue. She looks kind of like a statue, a lot of vampires. And
so it wasn't
like
necessarily
that.
Always beauty makeup.
Right. Yeah, well, no, that's not true. I mean, some of it was special effects, but not really.
Okay.
I mean, I did that more for myself.
Right.
It was fun. I could really get into that. I sometimes look back and go, I missed my calling. I should have stuck with it.
So what was it like when you transitioned out of it?
Well, I never totally transitioned, like changed careers. I was a makeup artist on and off up until, for 30 years. And then I decided I needed something more substantial, so I went to school for digital design and learned Photoshop and all that. And I did really well, actually, at first. And then circumstances, I got out of that. I didn't have a computer, so, yeah, I kind of lost touch.
So then you're in artist adrift mode almost.
Well, I've always painted. I've always had a painting going. I started off really into tribal work. I studied Africa and the peoples and went to museums for their art. And finally, I felt like it was a past life in Africa, and like I had to get it out. Something about being an artist, I still haven't figured it out totally.
What was it like the first time you saw one of those pieces and it resonated with you like that?
Oh, wow. I remember I was in New York with my dad, and we went to museums, and there was this little tiny hole-in-the-wall museum, and they had a statue about this big with nails, and it was meant for a protection piece. And I went home and told my instructor, my professor, that I wanted to do something like that. It was very inspiring. And I do have pictures of it on my website, I believe, of strength and pain. He's a little guy going like this. It's nothing compared to the real thing of Africa. I'm not trying to copy them.
No.
Just get the feeling, the protection, because they're meant for protection pieces. And at the time, it gave me a lot of strength. Having all those nails, putting all those nails in, made me feel more personally inside, stronger as a woman. And I was going through a divorce and all kinds of stuff like that. So it helped me.
So you
that way, and I hope to others can see it that way.
It, when you say the term protection piece, I'm intrigued by that. Is that like, I don't know the way to phrase it. Is that like a thing, or is that just the way you've categorized it?
That's how I've categorized it. Now, in Africa, a lot of the different tribes have different ways for protection through their spirits. I mean, through their spiritual guides. And so I took that onto my own art.
And that notion, they physically manifest that in art pieces.
I think so. I feel that. I feel a big energy, especially from my masks. I make big, 36 by 48 is the largest. And they're come off the canvas about that far. And they're filled with all kinds of mixed media, from porcupine quills to found objects, sea urchin, what else? All kinds of things.
What does it mean to you to be able to work in the mixed media like that? How important it is to you to have those different elements incorporated instead of just working with paint or just doing sculpting or just one thing?
Well, like you, Eric, I have very bad vision. I was born blind in my right eye. And I wore contacts at 2. And
dang.
Yeah, can you really?
They didn't let me wear contacts till I was 13.
My parents had to put them in and out, and I had to wear glasses too, the big Coke bottle glasses patch over my eye. And I think that had a real effect on my self-esteem and self-confidence, and kept me away from being real social and having a lot of friends.
Right.
So I also can relate to where without my contacts, I can't see. It's like, it's a whole nother world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like wild, like macroscopic, you know, you have to look way closer.
Yeah, exactly. that's funny. It's very
so
rare.
I like texture. I love your piece.
Thank you.
Because you can touch it, the tactile. There's a real need for that too, I think, with people with poor vision.
So how much do you think your early life dealing with your poor vision, literally not seeing things the way everyone else does, played into your ability to see things in a more figurative nature differently and create these pieces of art?
I think it comes out subconsciously. And I do see things that other people don't. My mom sees stuff too. I have pareidolia, where I see faces in a lot of backgrounds and trees and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And texture is very important to me too. Grounding and connecting with the earth and yet being on a spiritual higher plane to let it channel through me.
Right. So do you remember when that first started happening? When you first started making art and you're first starting to dabble in the paintings that you've always done and things like this, were you able to connect with those kind of feelings right away? Or was that something that as your pieces developed, your connections to it developed and the process became more refined or almost even more personal throughout doing it?
I think at first, now this was a long time ago. My instructor, my professor, he was key for me to become an artist, to feel like I could be an artist. He was so free in allowing us to paint what we wanted and our ideas. And then he'd help us along with any issues we have or mediums we want to use or effects we want. And he's the one who helped me build the masks I made back in the tribal period. And allowed that freedom. It wasn't like, here's a vase with flowers, paint it.
Right.
You know, or paint by number, and you have to do A, B, and C. He just allowed us to go for it.
What do you think are some of the things that you might have had or other artists had that make them feel like they don't have that freedom until somebody almost gives them permission?
Oh, the instructors and your family. Parents?
Because I feel like a lot of people have a hard time giving themselves permission.
Oh, I do. I mean, you can see it in my work how diabolical it is. It's perfection versus freedom. And so you can really, I mean, some of them, like Asylum, Inside Asylum, mm-hmm. It's so obvious because the face is two faces. Mm-hmm. And you can see the anger and her beauty on one side. And the other side, you can see the anger and rage and pain. And it's got rivets or grommets all through it. And
so it's mixed media or bust with you with your pieces for the most part?
Most of my pieces are mixed media. And I'm getting more and more into mixed media.
Is that just kind of the almost literal byproduct of the psychological freedom you have before you start creating it physically?
Well, I think part of it is being a very tactile person myself. And I know with my vision, I like to look at one of my paintings and to be able to enjoy it for a half hour, an hour, and just look at it and see different things, how they change and morph and alter over time or the lighting. So I hope others can relate to that as well.
Absolutely.
And help them feel like, oh, wow, it's okay. I see a face in there, you know.
Well, that is kind of one of the 50,000 square foot questions or whatever I wanted to ask you. What ultimately in your dream world do you want people to be able to take away from your art, if anything? Do you want them to feel that sense of freedom right away? Or are you hoping that this is just completely, for no pun intended, a blank canvas for the observer?
Oh, no. I would hope that by viewing some of my work, because without knowing a definition or a story behind them,
right,
that always makes a huge difference by just the title and enjoying them and thinking about it, that it would allow their own imagination to open up and to bigger possibilities like other dimensions and time and the idea of time travel and, you know, the universe and what's it all about.
Right.
What's it all about and being the best we can be and moving forward, being kind to another. And with my time work, the new series I'm doing, The Abstracts, mm-hmm. I'm trying to demonstrate how I think of time, which I think of other dimensions and layers like
Photoshop. I was going to say more like layers.
Yeah, kind of like Photoshop, and they can cross paths and maybe be a little hazy on the top layer.
So are a lot of hazy sometimes?
Yeah, and I think dreaming, I believe dreaming takes us to other dimensions, and I believe there's other ways that we can slip. I don't know what the Hadron Collider's done, but I've heard a lot of...
yeah, talk to me a little about that, because I know that's been some inspiration for some of these pieces.
It has been, but I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, so, no, but this is one of those big picture things. Mm-hmm. So how did it impact you? How did the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, become inspiration for you for art?
Because I think a lot about these subjects of time and time dimension and why we are here and how to be a better person. And I think about the state of our world it makes me cry and I feel so helpless. And how can I better myself to make at least the people around in my world have a better world?
Right. Sometimes I guess you're not always stuck at when you change yourself, you change the world.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't want to get into politics.
No.
I don't either. I don't do politics.
No, I don't either. Well, because I do inherently feel, and you know, I guess Rage Against the Machine and bands like that aside, sometimes I feel like politics and art don't need to be necessarily.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
fun.
They,
it's fun I've, when they can be there, but you know, it doesn't always have to be that kind of statement.
Yeah, I don't understand all the politics of our world, so I just assume keep quiet.
I don't think anybody understands, Peace. And everybody's just faking.
I'm an old hippie.
Yeah. So, talk to me a little bit about these timepieces, and that this is what you're going to have with your show coming up.
Yes, and I'm going to have some of the tribal work, my older pieces.
Okay,
I have a couple of masks that I'm going to display, and then the rest will be all about time, dimensions, and possibly time travel.
What made that creep
Not
in?
The, what?
What made that creep into your process?
Well, see, how can I explain without sounding stupid?
No such thing.
Well, I think on different planes of existence, time can go faster or slower. Like, if you can jump to another plane, that plane might be going faster. So, in a way, if you do, you could be in the future or the past if you come back to this time, space, moment, now.
It's almost like some of the underpinnings of simulation theory.
I'm not familiar.
What? Simulation theory is just, I guess, kind of exactly what it implies, in that we're all living in a simulation.
Oh, I've heard that too.
And it sort of accounts for the mandala effect, that just the simulation has been run multiple times for people at different points. And we have these minute things we remember differently, like he never says, Luke, I am your father, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah, I know what.
We have these collective delusions or whatever.
So, what do you think?
Oh boy. I don't, no one's ever turned the table on me. Like I largely agree in that. I believe that time is a human construct, and you know, I've always had a big fascination about where we go when we sleep.
Oh yeah.
And I've had lucid dreaming my whole life, extremely vivid lucid dreaming. So I have memories and attachments to things that happened to me unconsciously that are as vivid and as attached to things I know that happened to me consciously. And I also have a bunch of memories as a child that I have total time displacement with, that the adults in my life have to correct me. And it's all the way into my teenage years. So that's something
totally
that I don't
relate.
Talk about much.
I can totally relate. I know a lot of people that can relate.
So I guess that kind of takes me to one of my other big picture questions, because I feel like identifying with some of these feelings, like the illusion of time and things like that, sort of make it, I don't want to say easier, but put you more susceptible to be creative. So tell me a little bit about what your creative process is like.
Well, it usually starts with a blank canvas and maybe a feeling or a thought or a dream. And a lot of times it takes a life of its own, the canvas, the painting, and it metamorphoses and grows and evolves throughout the process. Rarely do I have a A, B, C, and D, and this is what it's going to look like. A lot of people disagree with that.
How so?
Oh, I know a lot of artists who say, you've got to plan everything out just perfect.
Oh, I got you. Like doing the digital drawing first and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of drawing. I don't do a lot of sketching. I get, well, the time series has really thrown me for a loop because I've been so busy. I just don't have enough time. That I feel like if I can relax a little more and slow down a little bit and just let it flow rather than rushing, I think it would be a lot more. I think I'm headed towards some bigger ideas and ways to construe some of these abstract thoughts in my mind to give them a more physical presence that others could maybe relate to and feel like they can understand on in an abstract way.
Right.
And connect with them.
How is it for you on a level of catharsis to have it when you get these more abstract ideas out of your head in a physical manifestation? What does that feel like for you?
Like relief. Definitely. Like relief. Once a painting's finished, I can let it go and until I start looking at it again. Because I can look at some of my work and get lost in it. You know, look at it for a while and let my imagination play, make up my own little stories.
That's interesting.
Hopefully, my hope is that the viewer's imagination will also, they'll be, allow themselves to entertain their imagination and see what kind of stories they see in my work.
Interesting. So what's the show is where and when?
The show is at Art Ovation.
Okay, and that's here in Sarasota.
And here in Sarasota, yes, on Palm, 1255 Palm. And it is from the 11th.
Of June.
Of June.
So we'll release this probably June. Right before that. So
through the quick. 17th. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. I was just going to say I want to make sure that people know we're going to have this out there and that they're going to, if you're watching this,
awesome.
It's going to be probably next week. So make sure you get it on your calendar.
And I will be there from 4 to 8 every night. And the artist reception is Friday night the 14th from 5 to 7. And we will do a champagne toast.
Very cool.
But you can meet me. You can play with the paints, ask me questions, and maybe even get in a deeper conversation about some of these subjects.
Right.
It's kind of intimidating sometimes to really let loose on what really goes on in my head sometimes.
Yeah, it can be nerve-wracking. Well, you never know how it's going to come across. But I guess, do you feel that art gives you, I hate to say it, but sort of a protected way to be able to let these ideas out and not have to feel so much like they're going to be judged or you'll be personally scrutinized?
Well, it's a way for me to express my emotions and get those out.
Right.
For sure. The ideas and concepts, they still come back around in a full circle. And then they expound, too, in some of my ideas of what I'd like to do on canvas in the future is challenging. Because every time I start a new painting, I'm learning something new. Cutting plexiglass or guitar strings.
Well, I got lots of those if you need them.
I do. I just got to learn how to attach them onto a screw rather than a guitar. I'll talk to you about it.
I was going to say, I got one that's made into a ring.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's awesome.
So,
beautiful jewelry.
Thank you. I like doodattery. So, and I know you've recently rebranded sort of or launched a new thing with the Shred the Box. I'm really curious about that because I just saw the video of you literally shredding the box and I didn't know if this was a literal thing or a figurative thing or both. So I'm really curious about that.
Okay. So don't think outside the box, shred it.
Okay.
That's what it means.
And that's kind of what I thought, but I wasn't.
Shred that mind enclosure that we creatives get stumped with sometimes.
Yeah, have you ever had like a creative wall, like a writer's block?
All the time, yeah.
Well, how do you handle that?
I usually go to the beach and refresh my spirit, give my spirit some nourishment.
That's interesting. I'm always curious about where the creative fuel can get you going and if you run out of it. You know what I mean? Some people are overwhelmed by it. Some people have to be centered by it. How do you manage like your, you know, you were saying a little bit before, if you can quiet your mind, you can create a little bit better. It seems that things come out a little bit better. How do you balance the have to life with the when you get to express this freedom and get to express these emotions so that you don't hit these walls, don't need a
all
reprieve?
Right. I usually have to paint at night a lot. I paint at night a lot. And when everything's quiet, except for my music.
Right. What kind of music
and
do you
music
like to listen to?
Music is really inspiring to me.
Yeah?
As well. I like a lot of different kinds of music. Very broad spectrum from electronica to classic rock to I really am more into alternative rock.
Nice.
My favorite band. One band I've been listening to is Nothing More. I like that In Transit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had them on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was listening to them the other night. But I like that kind of music. I like electronica too.
So do you have like a, for want of a better way of putting it, a discipline to paint? Do you paint every day? Do you try to make sure you paint a couple times a week or X amount of hours or?
I should be more disciplined. I'm working on it. I am. With my life, it's very hard to have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I have elderly parents I help take care of, and you never know what's going on. It seems like I have a plan, and something comes up.
Well, that's a really demanding thing to do, and shout out to you and all the people out there that are taking care of their elderly parents,
yeah.
Because I know that that's emotionally a lot and time-wise a lot.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's rewarding, too.
Absolutely.
I'm just grateful I have my mom.
Absolutely. Well, 2024 is the year of extreme gratitude.
Okay.
I dubbed that, so you don't have to feel bad if you didn't.
I love it. I love it.
Thanks.
Extreme gratitude.
Yep.
I will remember that. I try to remember it throughout my day.
Me too.
Thank you for having me and asking me these questions.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see some of your pieces. So let's we got plenty of time still.
I have one here. I didn't clean it. It's pretty cool under the black light.
Oh.
This is Timelines. Can you see it?
Yeah, definitely. Put it right here.
I just got this back from a show up in Wisconsin.
Oh, shout out Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm from Wisconsin.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So I haven't really looked at it in a while. The plexiglass represents different planes, and this area represents, like, I don't know if I want to say, because I think the viewer needs to come up with their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ideas behind it, but it is about time and how it gets away from us too fast sometimes, and we make wrong decisions and how those decisions bring you down another path. And it has ancestry vibes to it and deep meaning for me.
Right.
personally.
Will you have this piece on display at Art Ovation? Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I will.
Very cool.
I will. I really like it for a small piece. The plexiglass was very challenging.
So, and I can see how when you can look at that maybe 6 months, 8 months, a year retrospectively, you can get a new scene out of it. But I know for a lot of creative people, when they look back mm-hmm. at their work, sometimes all they can do is be critical of it and, you know, see what they did wrong so they can do something better the next time. When you're doing your pieces, do you have that feeling like you're your own worst critic, or is it just we're doing this?
Yes, very much. Yeah. I redid The Wire about, I don't know, like 5 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still not totally. Yeah, I would make changes. I would.
But that's so in hindsight, you do see like the more intangible different paths of it, but you do see it as more of the tangible path as your creative process too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will say again, you can tell just by looking at this, the perfectionism versus letting go and
right.
being free and just to heck with what everybody else thinks.
How hard is it to keep that in mind? Not being worried about what people are going to think. This is one of the huge parts about being your own worst critic for a lot of people.
It's tough. It's challenging.
Yeah? Do you?
I'll still be my worst critic. I found out that everybody has an opinion. And if you followed everybody's, you'd never get anywhere.
Truth.
You know? So I have to stay focused on my own path. My mom thinks I should paint flowers.
Just completely randomly, or you painted a flower once she really loved and she wants to see more?
No, she thinks I should just be painting flowers and pretty little sunsets and things like that. But she admires some of my work.
Well, I'm sure you can't help but see it and not start trying. It's thought-provoking.
She's my number one fan, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She is wonderful. A little different. Maybe. And then my dad, he was an artist, and he painted totally different, like very methodical and to the book, like A, B, C, D, to create his paintings. And very, they're beautiful. He was an amazing artist, but totally different. He just approached everything different than I come in. Like, just splash paint on. I think that is a very good method for opening up your creativity. If you go get a canvas and just pick colors and go for it.
How do you feel I guess this is one of those things I tend to ask musicians, but it applies to you as well. Would you still make your art if no one ever saw it?
Sure. Why not? Well, if no one ever saw it?
Yeah. Do you just have that compulsion to do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to do everything creatively.
And was your father an artist your whole life? So you grew up around that?
No, he was an engineer. Okay. He worked for IBM for many years.
I know you said he picked up painting and things later. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he had another maybe artistic discipline prior to that.
No, just being an engineer. Very different than I am. Very suit and conservative. But he lightened up and expanded his mind quite a bit. He just died in February, so it's kind of fresh.
Right. Well, it seems like you took a lot of inspiration and motivation to move forward from him, so with the pieces.
Yeah. Well, part of it is motivating to be different than him too.
Right.
You know?
Well, I guess, yeah.
You know, to show him I can think outside the box and I don't know if he really understands him or not. Probably more so than than I think.
Right.
He did.
Right. Well, that's
he's
one of the...
He's very intelligent.
Well, clearly that juxtaposition helps you in your creative process to be able to see things as, not to be too literal about it, but the straight lines and then the not straight lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, these should be a little bit straighter, but I think they got bumped in the car, to be honest. But although I also, with my studies, time is not, if there is time, if time exists, then it's not linear anyway. It curves and I don't know what it does.
Nobody does. That's the beautiful part. I used to, I'll definitely have to send you a link to this simulation theory thing I just watched. It was a lot of the things that, well, I guess let me ask you this. Do you believe in coincidence?
No. I would say that, like, if I met somebody and we both had the same shirt on, kind of coincidence, or give
anything.
Me an example.
Yeah, anything.
No,
coincidence,
I think
period.
I think it's... you stumped me. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah. Because that's one of the things, like, when we start to get into the place where time and the layers and foggy get everything, you know, we kind of make up things with our little monkey brains to try to explain things. And I think that coincidence is one of those things where we might be recognizing some of these deviations, coincidence, deja vu. We might be recognizing some of these curves and things that you're talking about, but our monkey brain doesn't know how to frame it, so we just call it coincidence and off we go to work.
You know, a lot of people are scared about all these ideas, and most people that I meet, it seems like they shy away from all those concepts, from different dimensions and time, just even discussing it. Except that it goes by too fast.
Yeah, we're comfortable with talking about that part.
Yeah. But that's about it. If I start going on... I mean, I'm not a scientist, and I can't speak, like, lucidly for scientific thoughts that I've read. I may know them in my mind, but articulating them is different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
My abstract thoughts, that's why I paint, too, because I have my own ideas and... weird daydreams about it.
Right. And there may not be a scientific explanation anyways.
There may not be.
So we don't need to bark up that tree.
I don't know what it is, what it's all about.
So what do you hope happens? What's your next big thing on the horizon after the show?
I'm going to clean up my studio and redo it so it's very functional and... nice, and help my mom around the house a little bit and dive right into another show, maybe a pop-up kind of event. I'm open-minded, something good, something positive.
Well, that seems like really reasonable criteria.
I mean, there's times I just want to go to the beach, right?
Right. Well, that's why we're here.
But I can't paint.
Well, that's the beach and the whole aspect, that's an interesting thing because I've had a couple different people in here reference what that's like for them, being able to go to the beach to get grounded, just living here in the weather. You weren't born in Sarasota, you're not from here, right?
Right.
So what was it like when you first came to Sarasota? Are you one of those people that has that story where you felt this overwhelming vibe of it all and you were more, for want of a better way of putting it, immediately compelled to live here? You can set it there, you're good.
I lived in Colorado and wanted to get away from the cold.
Ah.
It was just too cold.
Yeah, cold. And cloudy. And dry.
Yeah, in the snow. I mean, we needed a change, my family. So we, after a lot of research, opted for Sarasota County.
Had you been here prior? It was just like... Literally, you did the research, and that was good.
I had been here once and rented a house on the beach down in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It was a family house. Not my family, but my sister's family kind of thing. So that was amazing. That was really awesome. And waking up to the water, and I mean, it was.
It's tough to beat. It's tough to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to take advantage of it more.
Well, I've met a lot of creative people around here that, you know, and even a woman who fancies herself a shaman, take it or leave it however you like with that part. But she has a theory about creative people coming here and the energy here because of all the quartz in the sand. And this is like one of the largest quartz deposits literally on the planet, and that there is some type of ethereal vibe or whatever that it gives off and literally draws creative people here. And they have some type of feeling of belonging when they come here, some type of feeling of, you know, I'm in the right spot when they get here.
Well, I don't want to move. I definitely don't know. I've thought about it. Now that my children are grown, and you know, I thought about moving somewhere that's like a really small community of artists and not a big population, but more touristy. But I'm here.
I was going to say.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to move up to Sarasota or even St. Pete.
Yeah, St. Pete's someday. Definitely got a lot of booming eventually art, for sure.
There's so much going on. And yet Venice has that quainter, I wouldn't call Venice quaint, but
comparatively
has that beachy, you know, more laid back, depending on where you go.
Yeah, I was going to say kind of how it was here 20 years ago-ish.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's pretty, it's getting pretty populated.
But it's a good thing because, you know, at least, well, I mean, it's a gift and a curse always. But I have been a little bit more enthusiastic about some of the growth that we've seen around here because it has been a lot more young artists and people, and young people, if they aren't artists, who are intrigued by art. So are you looking forward to drawing a different crowd or people who haven't been exposed to your type of art at this show? Or are you just, who are you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how well I'll be received. I mean, I went to St. Armand's and there was some beautiful work down there. A lot of beach scenes, though, because I don't know if people just, artists are driven because they do live here and enjoy the beach and that's what they want to paint.
Yeah.
Or if it's more for a tourist type thing to sell work.
So I just always immediately assumed it was the latter.
Yeah, I think you're so.
Yeah. I guess it's funny you should pose that question because if it were the former, that's kind of where I picture you and some of the other people I talk to. We can go to the beach and be inspired by the beach, but then we'll make it really just gives us the freedom to make something else, not literally paint the beach.
Yeah.
So I guess it's two sides of the same coin, kind of, just a different.
Yeah, palm trees. I don't want to paint palm trees.
Maybe you should try to make something like your idea of a palm tree that no one could ever see it as a palm tree. You know what I mean? Your secret palm tree.
There's an idea. That's a good idea.
You painted a palm tree, but no one else knows it.
Inspiring. See if they can see the faces.
Yeah, exactly. So then that kind of gets me to my fun question I wanted to ask you. We'll get you out of here on something fun.
I want to hold this up, but.
Oh, you definitely can.
It doesn't stay like that. I guess I can just hold it.
Because right here it's absolutely in the frame, like perfectly.
Dusty.
So let's get you out of here on something fun. And they can look at this one while you describe it.
This has all been fun.
Well, then extra fun. I like that. I like that attitude. Now let's get you out of here on something extra fun. If you could create your dream piece, what is it? Is it like a giant canvas masterwork, a sculpture? What is your dream piece in your head that all of these you feel like might be building towards?
Would like to do a sculpture, like a hanging sculpture. And I'd like to corroborate with somebody else and work with a partner to create this and have sound and frequency, like frequency and probably lights. And I'm not sure what else to make it tactile so they can I don't know, maybe if they, this is going to sound crazy.
Good.
You know how you go get your fortune out of like the fortune teller, or if you go get a, your palm read or something like that. So that it would create, it would attune, the piece would attune to that person and their frequency and give them like a healing, uplifting motivation, and at the same time help them make a decision, a better decision, like what would happen if they do that, if they make that decision. A, I don't know, something along those lines, though.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know how. I love it too.
Like a universally somehow path to accidental clarity.
There you go. I like that. I'm going to have to copy that down.
All good.
I won't copy.
Well, Melissa.
Yeah, well, that's what I'd like to do. I have no idea how to go about it.
Well, that's what these are all for.
That's right.
Working your way there. That's the beautiful part of creative. I love that. I love your spirit on it. I love your attitude towards it. I really appreciate you coming down.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for you sharing this. And I can't wait for people to come to Art Ovation and see your pieces.
Oh, please come to Art Ovation.
Yeah, we definitely will.
It's going to be a celebration.
Awesome.
A celebration at Art Ovation.
Hell yeah. And we'll make sure we got links to that in this, and we'll have links to Shred the Box in this so everybody can know where to find Melissa and all her awesome works like this. Melissa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
Love it.
I appreciate it.